אוקיי, קלאס טונייט איז הלכות מוקצה. בעזרת השם, we have one more class next week and we're going to finish all the הלכות. I want to give a little introduction to what הלכות מוקצה is about, why מוקצה obviously is not considered one of the למתת מלאכות, it's not one of the 39 מלאכות of Shabbat. The all Isur of הלכות מוקצה is מדרבנן, not מדאורייתא. And the reason that Chachamim, they made a gezerah that one should be careful not to touch certain things is because somebody might come, and when you start touching everything and be very comfortable with things around you, you might come and take them outside and you overrun the melacha of otza'ah. That's one. Rambam says that the reason Chazal made a gezerah halachot mukseh, he says, because the Gemara tells us shelo ye iluchach b'Shabbat ki iluchach b'chol. The way you walk on Shabbat should not walk the same way. That don't walk on Shabbat the same way you walk on during the weekday. And in other words, you run on during the week, you don't run on Shabbat. Ve'lo sichat haShabbat k'sichat haChol. The way you talk on Shabbat, it should not be the same way you talk during the week. And the reason is because the pasuk says with the word davar. And also Rambam says kal vachomer shelo ye tiltul b'Shabbat k'tiltul b'chol. The same way you carry things on Shabbat, it should not be the same way you carry during the week. And therefore Rambam says on Shabbat people are sitting doing nothing, very easy that you come and touch stuff all around you, you're going to forget about Shabbat. The whole point of Shabbat is down the drain. Therefore Chazal, they made a gezerah that you should not touch certain things, should be careful what to touch, what not to touch, in order to observe Shabbat the way a person was intended by the Torah to observe, which is Leman Yanuach. That's what the Torah says. Therefore a person has to be very careful with what things and how you come in touch with stuff around you and how you work with the stuff around you. Now, in order to understand again Halachot Mukseh, I want to give you outline of there are four different types of Mukseh, which is Asur, but each one is Asur in a different way. We have Mukseh Mechamat Gufo, we have Mukseh Mechamat Chisaron Kis, we have Keli Shemelachto Leisur, then we have Keli Shemelachto Leheter. There are four different types of Mukseh, and each one has a different Halachot that applies to them. I'm going to translate. We're going to get to each one. I'm going to translate each one. Yes. The first one is Keli Shemelachto Leisur. The utensils that are used to do Asur Dika things on Shabbat with them. And what does that mean? I'm going to give you all examples for each one. Keli Shemelachto Leisur is, the Halacha is, you are allowed to touch them and to move them Lesorech Gufo and Lesorech Mekomo. What does the Sorech Gufo or Sorech Mekomo mean? Sorech Gufo means that if I have an object on the table and I want to do with that object is made to do things that is Asur with them on Shabbat. Let's say a tape recorder, a cheap tape recorder. Put it on the table and I want to use that tape recorder to sit on it. Right? I don't have a chair, I want to sit on that tape recorder. I am allowed to use that to sit on it. That's the Sorech Gufo. In other words, the Gufo means that utensil itself is used to do something is permissible on Shabbat. That Sorech Mekomo means tape recorder sitting on the table, I want to have lunch at this table, I'm allowed to move that tape recorder in order to eat on that table. That's the Sorech Mekomo. Mekomo means I need the space that this tape recorder is sitting there in order, I'm allowed to remove it in order for me to do, to sit there and eat there or sleep there or sit there. That these are permissible acts that I'm allowed to do, but I need that space. That's the Sorech Mekomo. This is very important. The Sorach Gufor, the Sorach Mekomo. You need to understand, because I'm going to through the whole night. Tonight I'm going to say constantly the Sorach Gufor, the Sorach Mekomo. You need to reach one minute.
Le Sorach
Gufor, for the need of Gufor means that utensil itself. Mekomo means that the space of that object. Okay? Now, what is considered keli shemelachto leisur? What does that mean? The keli, we have a utensil that is used to do asurtika things with them. Any keli, any utensil that you could do something that is asur, either min the Torah or min the Rabbanan, that's considered keli shemelachto leisur. Another word. If I have a needle, what do I do with a needle? Needle could be used to sew, right? Needle is used for sewing. Therefore, that needle is considered keli shemelachto leisur, and the only way I'm allowed to remove it or to touch it is the sorach gufor or the sorach mekomo. That's example of keli shemelachto leisur. Or another example would be a wallet. A wallet is keli shemelachto leisur because the only way people use their wallet is to put money in it. Is midrabanan. Touching money is not midoraita. But the wallet itself is considered keli shemelachto leisur. The only way I'm allowed to touch my wallet on Shabbat is the sorach gufor. I need that wallet to do something mutar with it, or I need the space that this wallet is sitting in order for me to do something there. That's the only two reasons I'm allowed to remove my wallet. Now, the example that often happens on Shabbat is fans. People have fans at home, and they want to move their fan. What fan is considered keli shemelachto leisur? Because the only thing the fan is good, they could use it for, blows air, but it is attached to the electricity. That makes the fan keli shemelachto leisur. The utensil is used only for asur b'kei melacha on Shabbat. Now, the only way I'm allowed to use that is where I go for me. Come on, let's say I have a fan, I want to move it to blow the air a certain way. I'm allowed to change the direction of the fan to blow the air one way. Or let's say I want to pick it up and move it somewhere else. I'm allowed to do that also. Right? That's considered the Sorach Gufor or the Sorach Mekomo. I need the fan to be in a different place, or I need the fan to blow the air in a different direction. I'm allowed to do that. But there's something that keli shemelachto leisur I'm not allowed to do. Let's say you have the fan here. If you leave the fan here, somebody's going to come and steal it. Or the rain is going to get to it and it's going to get destroyed. For that reason, I'm not allowed to touch. Right? The only time you are allowed to touch them or remove them is the sorach gufor mekomo. But if you are worried it's going to be stolen or it's going to get destroyed or something going to happen to them, for that reason you are not allowed to move them or to touch them. Now, there are certain keli shemelachto leisur that they have nothing, they cannot do anything mutar with them on Shabbat. Let's say you have a camera, or you have a telephone, right? A telephone or a camera, nothing can be done with them on Shabbat. What are you going to do with them? That's keli shemelachto leisur, but they consider a mukseh mechamat gufo. Therefore, we're going to get to the mukseh mechamat gufo, which is cannot touch the sorach gufor mekomo for any purpose. You are not allowed to move them or to touch them. Keli shemelachto leisur, another part to this halacha is that it has to be a utensil, and it has to have a din of a keli. If it's not a kli, then keli shemelachto leisur does not apply to it. What does that mean? That means, let's say you have a piece of wood. A piece of wood is not considered a kli. Kli means that is a chair. Made from that wood, a chair, that's kli. Or you have, let's say, soap. Soap is not kli shem l'achta l'yisur because not a kli. Or you have a gasoline. That's not kli shem l'achta l'yisur, that's not a kli. In order for that object to be kli shem l'achta l'yisur, it has to be an object. If it's not an object, then it's not, it's nothing, then there's a different halakha. By the way, halakhot mukseh is a very complicated halakha. You have to be really be focused to understand all the parts to it. And even after tonight, I'm sure everybody will have a lot of questions, but don't panic, it is complicated. Okay. Now, let's say you have something that right now is not a kli, but later on is going to become a utensil. You could say that right now it's considered a kli. Now, let's say I don't need that kli, but my child wants to play with that kli. I have a kli shel machzor leisur, and my son wants to play with that kli. I am allowed to use it for his purpose also. It doesn't have to be only for me. I could use it for my son. Or, let's say my neighbor needs it. I don't need that kli for me at all. I don't need the place. I don't need the utensil to do something with it. But my neighbor needs it. As long as he's Jewish, I'm allowed to move it for his needs also on Shabbat. Now, also, a kli shel machzor leisur, you are allowed to use it only if there is no other way, a mutardike way, to use. And there was, let's say, give an example. You have a hammer. Hammer is considered kli shel machzor leisur. Because what do people do with hammer? They do melachot, they do things that is not permissible on Shabbat. Now, what about if I want to use that hammer to crack a walnut? Right? I'm allowed to do that. But you are allowed to do that only if you don't have a walnut cracker. You understand? In other words, I'm not allowed to use a kli shel machzor leisur to do something that I could find a different mutardike way to do, then I'm not allowed to use that hammer. So that's another part to this halakha of kli shel machzor leisur. Also, kli shel machzor leisur, as we said, for sorah gufon, sorah mekuvon, you are allowed to move only if you need it for Shabbat, but if you need it for Motzei Shabbat, you cannot move that either. It has to be done, you have to need it for that purpose of that Shabbat. Now, what is considered kli sorah mekuvon? What does the sorah mekuvon mean? And if the sorah mekuvon, as I said, you need the space that kli is sitting, then you are allowed to move it around and use the place for that purpose. Now, what about if I have a kli shel machzor leisur in the middle of the dining room? And if you leave it there, you don't need the place. You don't need to do anything there. But you worry somebody is going to trip. You are allowed to move that also for that purpose. Right? Also, let's say you wash your clothing on Shabbat, use your washer and dry it, you forgot to close the doors. If you leave the door open, somebody is going to just walk into that door. You are allowed to close the door, even though that I don't need the washer and dryer. It's not going to do anything for me, but the fact that is going to save me, and I don't have to get, I'm not going to trip, or somebody is not going to fall in there, then you are allowed to close. The same thing, if you have a drawer on Shabbat, and the drawers in your kitchen, inside the drawers is a lot of mukseh there. Right? By mistake, you did not close it. You left it open. You are allowed to close it on Shabbat also, even though that I don't need anything from there, that you are allowed to close it. Now, what about if you have a mess in your living room? There's so many stuff. Your kids throw everything all over. There's a lot of mukseh also sitting in the middle of your living room or basement, and don't know, it's not, there's no avira shel Shabbat, right? There's no atmosphere of Shabbat. You want to clean your house, right? You want to make it proper for Shabbat. For that reason, you are not allowed to touch Kelishim Lachto Leisu. That's not a good enough reason to move. That's not considered Gosor Gufon Mekomot. You are not allowed to move them or touch them or put them in any other place for that purpose. If you need to sit there, you can. But just clean it up to have a beautiful living room or dining room, for that purpose, you are not allowed to touch them. Now, let's say you have a cell phone. Your cell phone also, you use it for alarm clock. And the alarm clock, by mistake, first we are not allowed to do that, but let's say you used it and your alarm clock went on Shabbat morning. You are allowed to move or to touch your cell phone for the purpose of the alarm clock. That you are allowed to do. You could take it or put it somewhere else because you need the alarm clock. Now, what about if, let's say, you picked the fan or the alarm clock or anything, or any kelishim lachto leisur, now what should you do with it? You picked it up in your hand now. Can you take it to another room or take it to another place or take it to another house? Or once you picked it up, you have to throw it down right away. You don't have to do that. Once you picked it up in a mutaradik way, you are allowed to take it and put it anywhere you want to put it. Don't have to throw it down as soon as you can. You don't have to do that. You could put it anywhere that is fit to be put down. Now, what about if you thought that this kli, this utensil, is really the sora gufon mekomo? Picked it up, and if also I made a mistake. Really is not the sora gufon mekomo. I don't need this. I picked it up by mistake. Once you picked it up, can you put it in a proper place, or you have to drop it right away? That is a machloket. Some say that you have to drop it right away. Some say you could put it in a place that you can. L'chatechila, you should not take it. You know, if you have the first opportunity you have to put it down, you should put it down. Now, I'm going to give you a few examples that is very applicable in everybody's homes, what is considered kelishim lachto leisur. An empty pot is considered kelishim lachto leisur. Everybody touches their empty pots on Shabbat. Empty pots normally are used to cook in them, right? Nobody brings the pot in the table. Nobody eats from the pot. Everybody cooks inside the pot. A pot is considered kelishim lachto leisur. Baking pans is considered kelishim lachto leisur. If it's empty, by the way. If there are food in it, the pot, empty pot or empty baking pan, that's considered kelishim lachto leisur. A cover of a pot is considered kelishim lachto leisur. Because then nobody uses the cover of a pot. They have a big pot, they have a cover. The cover, nobody uses the cover for anything else. We use it only for cooking purposes. That's considered kelishim lachto leisur. Hot water urns, if there is no water in them, by itself is considered kelishim lachto leisur. Now, what about if you have a watch and has a computer on the watch? And then depends what's more important for you. If you bought that watch for the purpose of the watch, then it's not a problem, you could use it. But if you bought the watch for the purpose of the computer, then that's considered kelishim lachto leisur, and you are not allowed to move it around, you are not allowed to touch it. And so, therefore, you see the kelishim lachto leisur as a lot of there's a big application to that. You have to really think what's considered kelishim lachto leisur. Now, another example would be newspaper. A newspaper that has advertisements in them, Right? If you bought the newspapers for the purpose of that, and was most of the newspapers have so much advertisements in them, more than any other article, that newspaper is consecration lachto leisu. But if you have, let's say, newspaper like Mishpacha or Yaten Neman or Amodia, that's not a problem. That's not consecration lachto leisu, because the purpose, the idea that people buy these newspapers mostly are for the articles, not for the advertisement. Therefore, it's not a problem. Toys, the children toys, is not considered a mukse. You are allowed to touch and throw them around. The only toys that is a problematic are the toys that sings. And there was the toys that they make noise. Those are considered chedesh shemachto leisur, and could only move them the sort of gufom mekomo. But there are some toys, they don't sing, they make a noise. That's not a problem. That's not considered enough, because the purpose, the main part of the toy is the toy itself. The ra'ash that they make, the noise that they make, that's not a big deal. But if they sing, the singing is considered the important part of that toy, then would be a problem. Now, what about if you have a toy that by pressing them, they start singing? If you don't press them, they don't sing. That's not a problem. That's not considered kelishim lachter leisur. It's considered a mutardik utensil that they could use them. Another example of kelishim lachter leisur, a computer bag. Even if there is no computer in it, that's considered kelishim lachter leisur, because the whole purpose of the computer bag is to be used for computer. A computer is also the utensil to be used. Now, some dugmaot. Now, some examples for kedesh mechto leisur: hairbrush, umbrella, bicycle, telephone book, matchbox, cookbook. All those are considered kedesh mechto leisur, and it could only be used or could be removed by for the sort of form of common. A can opener, if we spoke about this last week, we said that can opener only could be used if you hold that you could use open cans on Shabbat, then can opener is not a problem. If you hold that you are not allowed to open cans on Shabbat, then the can opener is muksa for you. It depends what we spoke about this last week. Depends what's your position on that. Okay, that's keli shemelachto leisur. Second, the second part, keli shemelachto leheter. Keli shemelachto leheter means that is the keli only used for mutardika thing. It's not, and there was with this utensil, like let's say I have a knife, I have a spoon. Spoon is used only for eating. There's nothing wrong. There is no melacha, there's asur on Shabbat I could do with spoon. Therefore, spoon is considered kedeshim lachtol leheter. You are allowed to move it around in any form or shape you want, even not the sorag form mekomo. The only exception that you are not allowed to do with kedeshim lachtol leheter, if has no sorech bichral, you have no mamash, no need, then you are not allowed to move that around either. Kelishim lachto leheter, only you are allowed to use if you have some kind of a need for it, but shelo lesorech bichlal, then you are not allowed to that. But there are few exceptions to this halacha. Let's say I have food. I have sefarim. Right? Sefer, you can say kelishim lachto leheter. You have apple, you have orange, you have cucumbers, you have tomatoes, it's sitting around. Right? You want to pick, just pick them up, play with them. You are allowed to do that, that's not a problem. Because even though that there's consecration lachto leheter and there is no need for it, still you are allowed to use it and move it around. You have cups, you have plates, you have spoons, forks, knives. Those also, even if you don't need them for any purpose, you are allowed to move them around and put them anywhere you want. Same thing with clothing, jewelry. Even though they are considered totally shemlachto leheter, you all or a watch, you are allowed to move them around and don't have to worry about it. What's the reason for that? The reason is because our people are so involved with them, there's nothing you can do wrong with them. Right? Then there was this part of our lives that you can't say, don't touch our clothing if you don't need to. Don't touch the fruits or the food if you don't need to. We are so involved with them, that's considered part of our lives, and then it's not a problem. Now, the next halacha, Mukseh Mechamat Chisaron Kis. That's a very complicated halacha. Mukseh Mechamat Chisaron Kis means that there are utensils that people are very makpid. They have a set of rules how to pick them up, where to put them. They are very careful how to handle these utensils. Example would be, let's say you have a violin. And you just take them out. You are so careful how to handle them. You take them out, you play with them, then put them in their bag and put them away. The violin is considered mukseh mechamat chisaron kis because you are so careful that nobody should touch them or play with them. What's the halacha with mukseh mechamat chisaron kis? You cannot touch them for any purpose. Not the sorech gufo, not the sorech mekomo, not for the reason, nothing. There's nothing you can do with them. If your violin was left in the middle of your living room, you are stuck. You have to leave them the whole Shabbat. There's nothing you can do with them. That's the problem with Mukseh Mechamat Chisaron Kis. How do you define Mukseh Mechamat Chisaron Kis? That has to do with everybody separately. In other words, let's say I have a violin, for me, nothing, it's garnished. I don't care. I could play with it, I sit in it, I throw it here and there, I don't care. For me, it's not concerned. For you, if you treat that violin in a different way, for you it's concerned. People have computers. Some people treat their computers like their God, some people they treat their computers like nothing. Depends how you treat your computer. For you might be chisaron mechamat chisaron kis. For somebody else is nothing, because then it would be kelish melachto leisur, which you could move it around for the sorech gufo mekomo. An example: if you have, I see everybody is falling asleep here. I'm trying the best I can to explain it as easy as possible. What?
I said it's a lot of terminology and
that's
that
right.
We aren't familiar with, so every time you say it, we're like, okay, did we get that word?
Okay. An example would be, let's say somebody needs a magnifying glasses. You have a reading glasses. A reading glasses, people are very careful where to put them, how to put them, what to do with them. But it's because it's used so much, it's not considered Mukseh Mechamat Chisaron Kis. You understand? And even though that is, people are very careful how to put them, where to put them, but still, because it's used so much every day, it's not considered Mukseh Mechamat Chisaron Kis. Now, let's say you have a piece of paper, blank piece of paper. Some people, they really need that piece of paper. They don't want nobody to touch it because they want to be clean. Some other people, they don't care. Then it has to do with you. How do you want your piece of paper to be handled? For some people, that piece of paper could be chisaron kis. For some people, it's nothing. Now, I give you examples now that everybody holds the same thing. Universally, people are very makpid on these things. Stamps, credit cards, business papers, tax papers, birth certificate, etrog during Sukkot, pictures that you have on the wall that people are very makpid, nobody should touch them. expensive computer, all that is considered mukse mechamat v'saron kis, and one is not allowed to move them, touch them for any purpose. Okay? The next one is mukse mechamat gufo. Mukse mechamat gufo means that is not used for anything. It's not usable. Example would be dirt, right? Or you have the fruit, the peels of the fruit. Let's say you have orange peels. It's not used for anything, not usable. Or you have eggshells, not usable. That's mukse mechamat gufo. And they are also they are not allowed to remove them or touch them, even for the sara gufo mekomo, as the same alakha of mukse mechamat chisaron kis. Examples: money has no purpose. I mean, there's nothing you can do with them, right? Checks. Let's say you have a banana sitting in your kitchen table that is not ripe to be eaten. That's mukse mechamat gufo. Okay? Uncooked food. If you have, let's say, you have uncooked eggs, or you have rice, uncooked rice. You have beans, peas, all these type of things that are sitting in your refrigerator or your closet, they are considered mukse mechamat gufo because they are not usable, can use them for anything. You know, this halacha is so nogeya, because people, they open their refrigerator or they go to their freezer on Shabbat to take challah, and you have food, they have chicken sitting in your refrigerator which is not cooked. That's mamash mukse mechamat gufo. Right? And one is not allowed to touch, to bring them out, put them in, nothing, can't do anything with them. It's mamash mukse. Or you have eggs, not cooked eggs, sitting in front of your egg salad in the refrigerator. And the egg salad is behind the eggs. Cannot move the eggs. The eggs is considered mukse mechamat gufo, if it's not cooked. Therefore, this mukse mechamat gufo could be very, very nogeya. Now, what happens that on Shabbat somebody's refrigerator or freezer goes out? You have all your food not cooked sitting in that refrigerator or freezer. What should you do? You are allowed, if it's a mamash hefsed meruba, you're going to lose a lot of money, you are allowed to move them or put them somewhere else. Only if in that city or that country there are dogs that eat those type of foods. What does that mean? That means it's like this. And if the food is usable to be eaten by animals, then it's not mukse mechamat gufo. If in that place, some countries they don't, there's no animal, nobody has animals. Then there's nothing you can do with them. But if there are places that those type, let's say you feed your dog uncooked chicken, then it's usable for something. Somebody could use it for something. Then you are allowed to move them around, put them somewhere else. But if it's not, then you cannot do anything with them. Therefore, in America, because there is a concept of feeding animals this type of food, only behefsed meruba, only if somebody, mamash, lose money by not move them out or put them somewhere else, then you are allowed to do it. But anyway, if somebody's freezer goes out, you have 24 hours before anything happens to your food, then it's not considered behefsed meruba anyways. Toilet papers. You know, one is not allowed to use the toilet paper on Shabbat. But that's not considered a mukseh. Toilet paper is not considered a mukseh, right? Because there are ways that one can use the toilet paper. Therefore, it's not considered a mukseh. Now, the question that a lot of people ask through the years, what do you do on Shabbat morning, sitting on your table? You add eggs, you add food, you add bones, and everything sitting all over the table. How do you clean your table? Because everything sitting on the table is mukseh. Right? People, let's say you have olives. The pits are, it's not just, it's nothing. It's mukseh mechamat gufo. Right? You had eggs, and you took the eggshell, put them on the table. They are considered mukseh mechamat gufo. What do you do? Now, this, the truth is that if a person wants to be careful to do it properly, the best thing is to do, should have a plate on the table, put a little piece of food in that plate, then put everything in that plate. This way you could pick that plate up because there is something on that plate that is usable. That's the proper way of doing it. But it happens that a lot of times they have kids at the table, they eat, they throw food all over the table, and you want to clean them up. That the heart, the only way that you could do that is that the heter, and I can't tell you it's mutar to do it, the heter is to do it is geref shel re'i, which means that if something is so disgusting for a person sitting in your room, your living room, even though it's not usable, nobody uses them for anything, you are allowed to move them out. And the example would be if you have a garbage. Your garbage piled up on Shabbat. The garbage is mamash mukseh. Everything in that garbage is not can use them for anything. How can you take your garbage out? The heter, the reason it's permissible to do that is because it's considered geref shere'i, which means that is so disgusting, a smell in the house, you can't leave all Shabbat with your garbage piled up in your kitchen. That's why you are allowed to move. That's one reason. Second reason, there are things inside your garbage can or your garbage bag which is usable for animals. They have food, they have this, they have certain things that could be eaten by animals, and it's not totally useless. Now, another question that comes up very often, you have, let's say you want to use your keys. You have a keychain, and inside your keychain, you have your car keys too. The car key can't use them on Shabbat, right? Is one allowed to use the keychain on Shabbat or no? Now, this is a very tricky question. The part that's tricky is, what is more important for you, your car keys or your house keys? If to you that car key is very chashuv, very important, then the car key becomes batel to the car keys. The house key becomes batel. Therefore, you cannot move that keychain. But if your house keys are more important, then the car key becomes batel to it and could move them around. But this question nobody can answer, because for people, normally, if you have expensive car, your car keys are important. You don't want to play games with them. Therefore, one should make sure to take your car keys out before Shabbat in order not to get into a machloket. There's no way to answer this question. You have a button, you have a shirt button or jacket button or coat button, some fell down on Shabbat, you are allowed to pick them up but put them somewhere to fix them, because the button could be used after Shabbat for a right purpose. Or let's say the chair handle fell off, you are allowed to pick them up and put them and use them after Shabbat to fix your chair. You have invitations. The invitation, let's say somebody sent the invitation, the date is passed. Can you use that? Is that invitation, is it useless, or it could be used for something? The truth is, if you could learn something from that invitation, then it's not useless. You could use them and look at them on Shabbat too. Now, there is another halacha that I have to tell you about mukse, which two halachot. One is, you are allowed to touch mukse without moving it. Another word, if there is a mukse here, I'm allowed to touch it. Without moving it is not a problem. Therefore, one is allowed to lean on a car on Shabbat. Even though the car is mukse, because by leaning on the car, nothing moves, you are allowed to lean on the car. Another halacha, which is very important, that's applicable to mukse, all the halachot of mukse, I told you tonight. Ya mukse mechamat gufo, ya mukse mechamat, mukse mechamat chisaron kis, keli shem lachto leheter, keli shem lachto leisur. Four different types. All of those, you could move them around, you could touch them, could do anything you want to do with them, not the sorrow gufo, not for any purpose, as long as you don't do it directly. In other words, let's say I have a computer sitting here. If I push it out and fell down, I'm allowed to indirect la'achar yad. You are allowed to touch a mukse on Shabbat. That you cannot touch them and pick them up and put them somewhere by moving them by your elbow, by pushing them. You are allowed to do that if that's not a way of doing it during the week. Now the machloket is, what is one allowed to move them with your feet or has with your body? Mishnah Berurah holds that feet, being the machloket, that some say feet also is considered is proper way of moving stuff and is asur. Some say is mutar to do that. Rabbi Yosef says that you are allowed to move a mukse with your feet if there is no other way of doing it. That's one, the kelachariyat is mutar with any mukse, with any form or shape, you are allowed to do it. There's another halacha, which also is machloket between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. It also happens almost every Shabbat. You light your Shabbos candle on a tray. Right? You put your Shabbos candle there, and you say, I want to use that tray Shabbos morning. According to Mechaber, according to Shulchan Aruch, you are allowed to make a condition. Before Shabbat, they say, I'm lighting this, but I don't want that tray to become a mukse. Once the candle goes out, I want to throw the candles away, and I want to use the tray. You are allowed to do that. For Ashkenazim, even if you make it tonight, you cannot use it.